Mr. Hodger was a man who never minced his words about his enemies. It must also be said he had an extraordinary knack of making them. Mr. Khrushchev was, to the late Albanian leader, in one of his many, many volumes of memoirs, a charlatan, a clown, and a blackmailer. Mr. Brezhnev was, to Mr. Hodger, a tragedy from start to finish. Mr. Andropov, an incompetent policeman. As for the Chinese, Mao Tse-tung, Mr. Hodger finally decided, was nothing but a mad, senile, and totally treacherous fool. Deng Xiaoping, China's present ruler, got even shorter shrift as, I quote, a filthy fascist. The two superpowers Mr. Hodger constantly portrayed as in evil collusion to divide and rule the toiling peoples. China, once his closest ally and supporter, he saw as building not communism, but a great bourgeois social imperialist state. And as for the Yugoslavs next door, who once helped him to power, they were, after all, simply great Serb chauvinists practicing genocide against the suffering Albanians. The Albanians under Mr. Hodger didn't like to be called isolationist. The government's well-groomed, sophisticated, and multilingual diplomats in Vienna would always balk at such a description when I used to meet them in their embassy early of a weekday morning over fiery Albanian cognac. But there are few countries elsewhere that I can think of that are quite so difficult to visit and that are quite so uncomplimentary about most of the rest of the world. Despite years of requests, the Albanians consistently refused to give me and most of my Vienna colleagues a visa. But it wasn't just to the outside world that Mr. Hodger showed a stern face. Not for nothing was he proud of being called a Stalinist. I have in my files a quotation from Mr. Hodger about Stalin, in which he describes the late Soviet dictator as neither a tyrant nor a despot, but a man of principle, just, modest, kindly and considerate, a man who waged the class struggle correctly, dealing merciless and entirely justified blows to the enemies of socialism. Over the years from the time he took control of Albania in 1944, Mr. Hodger followed Stalin's kindly and considerate example, having almost every one of his once closest associates dispatched from power, and indeed often from this world as well, as supposed spies and agents. Perhaps the most curious story I ever had to cover during my time in Central Europe involved Albania's former Prime Minister, Mr. Mehmet Shehu, who, after nearly four decades at Mr. Hodger's right hand, was suddenly reported in late 1982 to have committed suicide in a moment of nervous tension. A year later, we were told that the unfortunate Mr. Shehu had in fact been one of those multiple agents working for the KGB, the CIA, the British and the Yugoslav secret services as well, plotting the while to destroy communism in Albania, to assassinate Mr. Hodger and submit the 3 million or so souls of this proud Balkan mini-state to the ravages of a bourgeois political system. Quite why Mr. Shehu had failed so abjectly to achieve these alleged goals during his decades at the pinnacle of power was never explained. And as for the suicide, a Romanian diplomat I met much later, who'd been stationed in Tirana at the time, said he knew for a fact that Mr. Shehu had in reality been shot dead, possibly by Mr. Hodger himself. Rather like Albania's most improbable 17-year elephant and mouse alliance with China, broken off in 1978, politics in Tirana have at times been difficult to take seriously, unless, of course, one was a participant. But to say that Mr. Hodger ruled Albania with an iron fist would be an understatement. And the transition now to another ruler, most probably the present head of state, 59-year-old Mr. Ramiz Alia, will be a traumatic one for many Albanians. It will also be watched closely by those enemies so often and so colorfully reviled by Mr. Hodger. Albania occupies a prime strategic location on the Adriatic, and both the Americans and the Russians can be expected each to do their best, at least to ensure that the other is denied a toehold there. China did report Mr. Hodger's death with a black-bordered portrait on the front page of the People's Daily here, and it sent what were termed profound condolences on Mr. Hodger's untimely demise. But preoccupied with its own modernization and its relations with powers more important than Albania, Peking now is unlikely either to seek to or want to re-establish the special and expensive ties it once enjoyed with Tirana. Mr. Alia himself, in his public utterances, has shown no sign of deviating from Mr. Hodger's straight and narrow. But without the former leader's charisma and absolute authority, he will find it very much less easy to hold different political views in check. The pressures on the impoverished Albanians to follow their erstwhile Chinese benefactors and, in the post-Hodger era, open up to the outside world can only grow stronger.